Ladies and gentlemen, a warm welcome to the Biotest AG conference call. Let me turn the floor over to Monika Buttkereit, Head of Investor Relations.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Biotest full year 2019 numbers. Let me hand over now to Michael Ramroth, CEO and CFO of Biotest AG.
Yeah, thank you very much, Monika, and very warm welcome also from my side. Good morning to everybody. Yeah, I'm actually very sorry that this year we have not the possibility to meet in person as we did in the previous years when we met in Frankfurt, looking across the Main River and talking about Biotest and the world around us. But the world around us has changed, and therefore we are also sticking to our social distancing policy in order to stop the spreading of the virus. Nevertheless, we are very grateful that you are taking the time to follow us today on the phone. Thank you for that. An even bigger thank you I would like to say to our colleagues who day by day come to our manufacturing site here in Dreieich, close to Frankfurt, to keep the production running and to produce our life-saving plasma protein products. An even bigger thank is valid for all our colleagues in our plasmapheresis centers and, of course, to all our donors who also, very loyal, continue to donate and collect plasma also in these days. But now let us start. You can find our presentation on our homepage, www.biotest.com, under Investor Relations and Presentations, and we will tell you the respective number of the slide we are talking about. Before I tell you in more detail that we have exceeded our EBIT guidance in 2019, have increased sales by almost 5% compared to 2018, and have opened three new plasma collection centers, I would like to welcome also Jörg Schüttrumpf, medical doctor and specializing in transfusion medicine and head of our R&D activities. He is also our best expert in everything around the coronavirus, and we think that you are probably most interested to hear what we as Biotest are doing under the headline of SARS-CoV-2. So please, Jörg, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, also good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and today I would like to give you really a short overview of everything concerning corona and Biotest. And I think I will start with the most important thing, and this is the first thing, the safety of our product. Perhaps, of course, it's now I will start with slide number five. The first thing to mention is that, of course, we don't collect plasma from donors where we know that they are infected with the coronavirus. But even if a donor is asymptomatic and could test positive for the virus, it's common knowledge right now that these donors don't have a virus in the blood. So we are also safe from this perspective. But not only this, the virus is large, lipid-enveloped, and therefore easily inactivated by standard virus inactivation and removal steps. And we have four of these steps in our production process. So in conclusion, really, our Biotest plasma products are safe. We have no concerns, and we have a high margin of safety. Then I will switch to the next slide, number six. So what does this mean, this pandemic, for our business and the business continuity? Of course, we implemented multiple measures to protect our employees and also our business and to avoid virus spreading, things like hygiene and protective measures, social distancing that we are also right now experiencing in this call, but also others, for example, separation of groups so that in production we have separated shifts and that if one shift is affected, the others can keep on working and maintain business going, and other things like travel restrictions and so on. We also have filled our stocks, and we are prepared for shortages. We could even produce longer time shutdowns when everything around us is closed, maintained for quite a long time. And the only thing where we saw shortages were disinfectants, but now we also have permission and we can produce and produce already in-house disinfectants, so also there we are independent. And the last point for business continuity is quite important because the health system relevance of biotests has been confirmed by authorities. This means we have exemptions from other restrictive measures. For example, we have exemptions for childcare for our workers. Workers could, have already letters to commute to work in case that this is not permitted in a general shutdown. But we also are in discussion with our local health department, for example, that in the case of personnel shortages, we can take extra safety measures and therefore keep working, although normally you would have to implement very strict quarantine measures. Okay, so we are well prepared here. Now let's go to slide number 7. And here I would like to give you a short overview of the two coronavirus epidemics or pandemic 2002-2003 and then this year for COVID-19. So it's quite confusing, the different sentences. So the disease this year is called COVID-19 and the disease 2002-2003 was named SARS. And the virus, they are both coronaviruses, so the older one is the SARS-CoV, and this year is the SARS-CoV-2. But the important point is really what we could do against this virus and how our products are used. And you see 2002-2003, one of our products on the market, Pentaglobin, was in discussion, and this year we actually have three approaches that could potentially be implemented. The first one is an hyperimmunoglobulin. The second one is Pentaglobin, as mentioned before. And the last thing is our development candidate, Trimodulin. And I will explain all three approaches in a little bit more detail in the next slide. So we shift to slide number 8, and what you see here is really the three products and potential products, one side-by-side comparison, what is the difference? So the hyperimmunoglobulin is basically an IgG product. And special here is that it's manufactured from plasma of donors which have been exposed to the virus and have therefore antibody titers against the virus, so very specific. The second one, Pentaglobin, you see has a low content of IgM and IgA, and it's an approved product in certain markets for severe bacterial infection. And then we have Trimodulin with very high IgM and IgA content, and this one we are developing in severe community-acquired pneumonia, so-called SCAP. And this SCAP indication is exactly the indication where now these COVID-19 patients are. This is an indication where you acquire a pneumonia outside the hospital and then come to the hospital because of the severe pneumonia and get and have the need for intensive care and patients are then ventilated. So let's start on slide number 9 with the hyperimmunoglobulins. Where we are there, so I mentioned before, this they are or should be produced from plasma of donors with antibodies against coronavirus, and there is really only anecdotal data that such an approach could work, which is from China, with where patients were receiving convalescent plasma. And they demonstrated improved oxygenation and reduced inflammation and viral load. This data or this experience is just from 5 patients, but at least there's hope and it's very reasonable to go for such an approach because they have the specific antibodies against the virus. What we did right now is we initiated plasma collection of individuals after clearing coronavirus infection, as well as test development to screen our donor base for such antibodies, and also we initiated that we can measure these antibodies in our products. Now, where we stand with this is we are prepared then to join forces also with other plasma companies, being member of the PPTA, the Plasma Protein Therapeutics Association, in a really industry overarching effort to develop this kind of specific coronavirus therapeutic. So, but today really what is there in the focus is collecting the plasma of these donors. Now, let's switch to the next slide, slide 10, for pentaglobin, because here we already have this positive experience in SARS 2002-2003. There is a report also published from 12 patients who were treated with pentaglobin, and these were cases in patients who continued to deteriorate although they had full treatment with corticosteroids and also an antiviral substance. And in all 12 patients were reported a positive effect of pentaglobin. 10 really made an uneventful recovery. One at least went well at the time of publication but had not totally recovered. And one showed better signs, especially better radiological signs in the lungs, but died then later on from cardiovascular arrest. Now, what, where are we with this pandemic? Also, physicians use pentaglobin, and there are some testimonies, but we don't have reports yet out there that could confirm this, and we see as usage peak of pentaglobin in Italy, where pentaglobin is marketed. So what we are doing now is we collect all the data we can get by case report forms. We work with different registries to collect the data, and there are also some physicians and investigators who want to look at this with more details, and they initiated some study activities. So before you now get too excited that our sales will improve substantially because of this, we are currently already at the production capacity with pentaglobin, and we initiated measures to increase capacity. However, these capacity increases will really come online later, so they would probably not have an effect this year. Now let's switch to the next slide, slide 11, and this is really the most exciting topic for me, trimodulin, our development candidate, and trimodulin is developed for the treatment of severe community-acquired pneumonia, so exactly this indication. There's no comparable adjuvant therapy available like this, and we see that this could equally work in COVID-19 patients. So trimodulin, how is the concept there? You have on the one hand, and this is on the left of the slide, the causal therapy, so antibiotics or antivirals in case of COVID-19. And then you have all supportive measures, the ventilation, hydration, vasopressors, everything that is done in the intensive care unit. And you have trimodulin as adjuvant therapy. And trimodulin then neutralizes toxin. It also prevents from excessive inflammatory responses and reduces the risk of severe septic shock or respiratory and multi-organ failure. And therefore, it can decrease mortality and improve the patient outcome. And now I go to slide number 12. Of course, it's an immune globulin preparation with these different kinds of immunoglobulins, IgM and IgA. However, the action is not really in this indication against only the virus or against bacteria, But what you see on the right side of the slide, it is overall anti-inflammatory responses, modulation of the host immune response, the cellular responses, but also it dampens the complement system. It neutralizes broadly virulence factors and inflammatory and inflammation mediators. And then, this is the important thing for the pathogen, it prevents secondary infections also, meaning that if somebody is ventilated for a longer time, very often another infection goes along with some kind of causing pneumonia-causing bacteria or virus, and then you have the complication and patients die from this complication. And to show you this a little bit, how this course of these patients is on slide 13. Here you see starting the infection on the left, then you have this early phase with a high inflammation, hyperinflammation, and early death because of this overwhelming inflammation. And here trimodulin helps to dampen this kind of inflammatory response. And then you have the late phase, and there you have basically an exhaustion of the immune system, and therefore the immune system cannot fight anymore other kinds of pathogens, and here trimodulin helps to stabilize the immune system and help the patient to recover. This and therefore also improve the mortality. And this really works. I want to show you then on slide 14. And this is the experience of our phase 2 SIGMA trial. And what you see in all patients, we had a 20% reduction in mortality. However, when we looked at patients with a high inflammation marker, CRP, and this inflammation marker is also high in COVID-19 patients, then we see a 55% decrease in mortality. And we see in the same range also 54% decrease in mortality in patients with low IgM levels. Now, we don't know IgM levels in COVID-19 patients, but we know that they have immune suppression. They have less lymphocytes, less immune cells, so that we expect also there that this is really our target population. And when we combine both approaches, you see almost 70% reduction in mortality in the SIGMA trial from 36.6% to only 11.8% mortality. So, and there I go to slide 15, where we are now. We include now COVID-19 patients into the design of our phase 3 ESCAPE study. So the goal is to obtain a broad indication here for ESCAP, including, of course, COVID-19. However, this trial will go for several years, although we will start this year. And therefore, we will get marketing authorization a little bit later. This is why it's the second point. We will start, and we are planning a phase 2 study exclusively for severe COVID-19 patients, and this would offer us the possibility for fast response during the current outbreak, and we hope with this also that we will have the possibility to shorten the time to market. Now, all these activities are on top of what we have planned so far with trimodulin, and you know that we have a quite ambitious development program. So we need really additional funding for this, and we already submitted the first application, but we are looking also for other applications and are talking with funding agencies to support our COVID-19 specific activities here. So that I go to the slide number 16, just a short summary. We have no safety concerns with regard to our products. We have effective measures to ensure business continuity, and we see opportunities with our product and the specific technologies we have, especially producing IgM-enriched immunoglobulins, but also collecting plasma from donors which already had contact to the virus and therefore specific antibodies. And with this, I will hand over again to our CEO, Michael Ramroth, and later on, of course, I would be open also for questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was very interesting, and we all keep crossing our fingers to you and your team, Jörg Rüttrumpf, to be successful in pursuing all three approaches you have mentioned with the hyperimmunoglobulins, pentaglobulin, and trimodulin. The basis for doing that is, of course, that we had been successful in our operations last year, and the original purpose of this call was to make you more familiar with the numbers we achieved in 2019. You can see and read all those numbers in detail in our applications available since Monday of this week, our annual report, and all figures are shown at our homepage, so you can look into it and dig into the details if you want. Let me start with the sales. In 419.1 million we achieved in turnover in 2019, that were 19 million more than the year before, and I can say that we achieved higher sales in each and every region of the world, and therefore we had been, despite the fact that we are operating at limited, at the highest capacity level, we have been able to increase turnover here a little bit. If you deduct the operating costs and expenses, the remaining earnings before interest and taxes had been negative in 2019 with minus 1.2 million compared to 10.6 million in the year 2018. But you will see in a moment that this decline was mainly driven by higher investments, higher costs for our future projects, our Biotest Next Level project in building a new facility, doubling our capacity, but also developing three new products. And I will come to the details figure-wise in a moment. Of course, we had also in 2019 to pay interests for our loans and have to pay taxes in some of our foreign subsidiaries, affiliates. So if we deduct minus 3.5 million from the EBIT, we end up with a net loss of Biotest Group of minus 4.7 million. And if you turn to page 19, you will see that the EBIT of minus 1.2 will turn into a positive 68.6 number if we would exclude all our costs and expenses for Biotest Next Level, including the development costs, because all in all, we spent 68.4 million for Biotest Next Level. We have spent also still 1.4 million for monoclonal antibodies, a business part which we no longer pursue in the future. So this expenses won't reoccur in the near future. Meaning that in the end, with our existing business, our existing product portfolio, we would have achieved a profit of 68.6 million compared to 67.1 million in 2018. If you look a little bit more detailed into our expenses for Biotest Next Level, our BNL project, you will see that we had to spend 28.4 million for the facility which we have built, which is already being commissioned, and we are in the phase of getting all inspections and all permits to run it for commercial business. What we will produce there is still currently under development. You know, we are developing a new immunoglobulin. We call it IgG Next Generation. We spent 18.2 million for the two ongoing phase 3 studies in IgG Next Generation, and those are two phase 3 studies are completed in the meantime, and we are writing the study report in order to have all data ready available for the filing of the market authorization for IgG Next Generation. Trimodulin, the IgM concentrate, Jörg Schüttrumpf has described in more detail a little bit before, has consumed 11 million for the preparation of the clinical trial material and the preparation of the phase 3 study, as we have explained to you. The third product is fibrinogen, a special clotting factor. Here, two phase 3 studies are also running, and they have costed 10.9 million. So all in all, we spent 40 million for these three new products, summing up to 68.4 million, which have been fully funded by the existing business of our existing portfolio. Coming briefly back to the sales development 2018 to 2019, you see on page 21 that we have increases in all regions of the world. The only decline we had is in Middle East and Africa due to the fact that in this part of the region, the contract manufacturing, which we are doing for the Middle East, was deliberately reduced a little bit to free up more capacity for our own products out of our plasma, which we have collected in our plasma centers or have bought from Red Cross organizations. If you look at the balance sheet on page 22, you will see that the total assets have increased slightly, of course, due to the fact that we have made further progress in the building up of our BNL facility, but more in investing in stocks and inventory. And we mentioned it before that this high inventory enables us now also to bridge any time which might be otherwise concern us with regard to shortages from outside supplies and deliveries. So having a higher inventory on plasma proteins or intermediates gives us this kind of flexibility and freedom to operate. If you turn to page 23, you see that this increase in working capital has, of course, eaten up a lot of cash. 59.3 million we use from our cash flow to build up our inventories and to increase working capital. On top of that, we had to spend 5.8 million for paying interest and taxes. So that has, of course, reduced the operating cash flow before changes in working capital of 31.5 million to then to a cash flow from operating activities, including working capital changes and tax and interest payments, to minus 33.6 million. And this cash outflow, of course, had to be financed, and that's the reason why we have drawn 50 million from a new loan facility we had agreed upon last year. In June, July, we agreed to get a loan capacity of 240 million for the ramp-up of BNL and the development projects. And out of this 240 million, we have drawn 50 million, which are shown specially marked on page 22 in the balance sheet on the equity and liability side as financial liability. Despite the fact that including our BNL expenses and costs, we had shown a small loss in 2019, we nevertheless proposed to the annual shareholders meeting at the beginning of May to pay out a dividend for the preference shareholders of 0.04 per preference shares, while the ordinary shareholders would get no dividend in 2020, in order to save the cash for the ongoing development projects. And I think you are also convinced that we urgently need the money to really make progress with our future-oriented projects here. Originally, we planned to invite you all to come to Frankfurt to the Alte Oper on Friday, May 8th, this year, but due to special circumstances, we have decided, together with the supervisory board the day before yesterday, to invite for an online annual shareholders meeting. So Biotest will be one of the first companies to go through this new innovative way of conducting a shareholders meeting this year. Normally, in this call in March, you expect from us that you will get a guidance for the running fiscal year 2020, and normally you would have said that you can expect a sales increase by 10% in 2020, and that our EBIT will be in the range of -10% to -5%, even after having digested costs and expenses for BNL in the magnitude of 70 million-85 million euros. But of course, I have to say caveat that those guidance was developed and printed and published on Monday in our annual report under expectation for 2020, when we were not aware of the threats and risks being triggered by the coronavirus. And to be honest, we are not yet in a position to assess the negative impact of this development in the near future. So please don't be surprised if in June, July or so, we will come back with a revised guidance. All this sales and profit figure can only be achieved if we have enough plasma. And you have seen and heard that in 2019 we opened up 3 new centers. So all in all, we have nowadays 22 centers in Germany, Hungary, and in the Czech Republic. And we will continue to open up new plasma collection centers in those 3 countries also in 2020, because more than ever we need the plasma. Demand is growing, and Schüttrumpf has described to you that especially this COVID situation will even make it more necessary to have plasma available. So please encourage everybody you know in your family or in your friends to donate blood or blood plasma and help us to supply also our products in the future, because a lot of people with rare diseases need this plasma protein product because there is no other treatment option available for them. Therefore, again, help us to continue with those activities. Let me summarize. Biotest Next Level is progressing. Clinical trials for new BNL products are ongoing. IgG Next Gen, fibrinogen, and trimodulin is in preparation, with the specialty that we now include COVID patients as well. And on top of that, in pursuing all treatment options against COVID, we will start a phase 2 study with specializing on severe COVID patients. All that, as I said, is only possible if we have enough plasma. Therefore, we don't stop our efforts to build up new plasma collection centers in Europe and hope we are successful, as I said, in order to serve our patients. And with that, I would like to thank you all for listening to us and would now have the opportunity to answer questions you may have. Thank you very much.